Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thang podcast. This week, there was a two-day Toby Tarrant takeover.
Two-day Toby Tarrant takeover?
Yes, that's what I just said.
All the tea.
So, if you're a fan of Toby, you're in luck. If not, skip to around 33 minutes in when I'm back. There's loads to enjoy. 33 minutes, wow. Just in 2 days.
Wow. To be fair, Toby also had some trouble with words this week.
So did
it's
he?
It's quite appropriate that you did that.
Okay. Just easy. 33 minutes in 2 days. 15 minutes a day.
How long is the entire podcast?
It's about 45 minutes.
Oh!
Oh, I've never heard anything like it. Have you, Sean?
That means it's only 10 minutes, you
know. I know, it's ridiculous.
I'd like to see his words cut off.
I'd like to see his ends cut off. There's loads to enjoy this week. We've got pessimistic fish, the phrase you'll need to get into any Berlin nightclub, and the most apathetic birthday surprise for little Si you will ever hear. Enjoy. Radio
X. I am Toby Tarrant, sitting in for Mr. Johnny Vaughan for the next couple of days. The schedule, the Radio X schedule, is chaos at the moment.
It is. It's all over the place.
Zena has tweeted us saying, everyone is sitting in for everyone on Radio X again. Yeah, you should see our boss, Matt Deverson. He's aged 10 years in the last 2 weeks putting this schedule together. It's like a manager of an injury crisis at a football club, and he's got people playing out of position. You know, there's people playing, people you've never heard of playing sometimes as well. It's all over the shop. Anyway, it's lovely to be here. I'm with you today and tomorrow afternoon as well. I'm feeling a little bit ropey because I went to Berlin, went on Thursday after my show, and I got back yesterday. And now, Cinta, I can tell that you've been to Berlin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A few times. I love Berlin.
That's the third time I've been. And let me just tell you that if you've heard rumours about Berlin, all of them are true.
Uh-huh.
Well, every single one.
It is a crazy, crazy city.
It's a fun city.
It is a fun city. And the more you go, the more you discover its dark underbelly. Which is,
you say that like it's a bad thing.
No, it's great. But my word, I've seen some things, Gavin.
What, like a Vietnam vet?
Yeah, I went there a boy and I came back a man. Right. I couldn't believe some of the things that I saw. So the nightclub scene.
Did you go to Berghain? It's like voted the best club in the world with the best sound system and the most exclusive DJs, and it's really hard to get into.
So famously, Berlin nightclubs are impossible to get into. They're quite proud of the fact that they don't let people in very easily and stuff. Now, have you got into Berghain
before? Yeah, a couple of times.
See, now,
silly question.
As I went as a group of 6 English guys, right?
Right.
I've been to Berlin 3 times, twice with a group of 6 of us, just right. All blokes, and once with just me and Pippa. And when it's me and Pippa, we waltzed into every club.
Of course,
yeah.
When it's 6 English guys in Berlin.
School
and by the way,
era.
In the week that was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, it was not a great time to get into the club. So we spent the first night in Berlin getting rejected.
Again and again.
How many?
I reckon we finally gave up after club number 5. And it's soul-destroying.
Yeah. Did you end up in like a train station bar?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah. We ended up in a 7-Eleven. Just drinking warm cans
drinking
of lager.
In the car park.
We're going, wow, Berlin is pretty crazy. They're right. Yeah, it was pretty... I probably haven't been refused entry in a place in a lot... I mean, I've been thrown out of a few places, but I've never not got into a place in the last like 10 years. And then suddenly it was like the in-betweeners. Just a group of guys walking around, just getting rejected to your face. And sometimes they go, look, there's a lot of guys here or whatever, or blah, blah, blah. It's quite busy in there, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes they just look you up and down and just shake their head. That's the one that hurts.
Yeah.
That's the one that really sticks with you. So second night, we're going, right, lads, we've got to improve this. So we started Googling.
Yeah.
How do you get into a nightclub in Berlin? So for anybody planning on going to Berlin, I'm going to talk you through the kind of the ins and outs, and this is where we were going wrong. So the first bit of advice is know who is DJing in the club.
Right.
Right, because they might ask you, who are you coming here to see tonight? Now, this is going to shock you. I'm not that good on my underground German techno.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I know, right? I know. It's amazing. As a man who plays cricket every Saturday, isn't into his underground German techno. So the guy goes, who are you excited to see it tonight? And I go, oh, it's all good stuff in there tonight, isn't it, mate? Oh, who am I?
Yeah, unconvincing.
It's just so vague.
He saw through you straight away. Yeah. Didn't you split up? You should have split up.
Yes,
we should have split up.
Or half of you dress as women. And you go in as couples.
By the way, in Berlin, if you want to get in, there is a cheat to all of this. Just walk up in hot pants and nipple tassels.
You're in.
You're in straight away.
But then you've got to wear hot pants and nipple tassels.
You're in there going, no.
Yeah. But they are quite hot, the clubs, so actually.
Yeah, but Toby's got long legs.
Yeah, I am. I'm all
It's
going
to look weird.
I am 90% legs, and you don't want to see it all squeezed into some hot pants. Nobody wants to see that at all. So then we read Be with some women.
Yes, that helps.
Which has helped. So we did the old, well, okay, so we got in the queue and then we just started asking women around us in the queue, will you go in with us? But they're going, well, no, because we're going to get in.
Yes. And you're
going to stop us getting in. Yeah.
Why would we let you guys, who've just seen it rejected from four clubs, cramp our style?
Yeah.
You don't even know who's DJing here, do you? No, we don't.
Meanwhile, the bouncers can see you doing that.
Yeah, exactly. They can hear you. Well, that brings on to the next one, which is keep quiet and play it cool.
Yeah.
Now, there's like two other things I'm not good at in life. That's keeping quiet and playing it cool. I've been called a lot of things, but no one's ever gone, oh, Toby, he's cool. There's a cool kid over there called Toby. That's never happened.
So quiet.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing of him. He's tranquil. And my favourite bit is speak some German.
Yes.
So I don't speak any German.
No.
So second night, we put all this into practice to try and get into a club. And this is how you get into a club in Germany, okay? So we went there. Yeah. We met some girls in the queue who said, yeah, we'll go with you, because they were from Ireland. I don't think they were confident they were going to get in either. And we were like, okay.
Okay.
We're all in this together. Mm-hmm. So we went in with them and we went up to the guy. And I asked the taxi driver on the way, I said, I need a phrase here. I need a phrase to get me into the nightclub.
Yeah.
So he said, well, say, wie geht's, which is...
How's it going? Yeah.
How's it going?
Mm.
And I said, but what happens when he replies to me? And he gave me a phrase that this is the greatest phrase. So you know in England we say life is no picnic?
Yeah.
In Germany, they say Leben ist kein Ponyhof.
Right.
Which is, well, life is no pony farm. So you go. This is how you get into clubs in Berlin. You walk up to the bouncer and you go, hey, wie geht's? How's it going? And no matter what he says back to you, you just go, ah, Leben ist kein Ponyhof. And they remove the red rope.
And you get in.
And you walk into the nightclub. So if you're going to Berlin, remember, life is no pony farm. This is Sam Fender.
Radio X. Radio X.
It is all kicking off.
It really is, isn't
there's,
it?
There's some beef on Twitter, Gavin.
Some serious beef.
This is like
Wagyu beef.
Well, it's like when Tupac and Biggie fell out, really.
It is, yeah.
For the millennials. It's the millennials equivalent of Tupac versus Biggie, this.
Yeah.
So Justin Bieber has called someone out on Twitter.
Yeah.
He wants to fight them in the octagon.
UFC style. So not even a boxing match.
No,
this
cage
is,
fighting.
This is cage fighting. Wow.
Yeah, Justin Bieber has called out Tom Cruise
really?
For a cage fight on Twitter. And now we are just sitting with bated breath to find out if Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise will get down and dirty and fight.
God, I would love to see that.
It would be great. I think the whole world is hoping that this
Can you
fight...
imagine the pay-per-view? Be much bigger than any other fight.
Forget Mayweather-McGregor.
Forget it.
Forget any of that. Forget in recent years Pacquiao, Mayweather, Alvarez-Golovkin,
yeah,
all
right,
of that.
Yeah.
Forget it, right? Forget Anthony Joshua fighting Tyson Fury in the future. If Justin
I want to
Bieber...
see a pop star run out of wind after 40 seconds.
I love the thing about cage fighting. It's the dirtiest of fighting.
Yes, it is, yes.
They are just rolling around on the floor, but eye gouging is the big no-no.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's right.
It's
yeah.
so inconsistent.
You can't knee someone in the head either.
Or knee
that.
In the head.
Yeah, yeah.
But you
can... allowed to use a chair, though.
No chair.
No, that's wrestling.
No, 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 no.
So that's wrestling. But
only if it's a collapsible one.
Okay. To be honest, some of the moves I've seen them do to one another in UFC, the guy's praying for the chair.
He goes, yeah, oh, there is. There's one called an oil check, and you don't want to know what that is.
do the maths in your head. So Tom Cruise versus Justin Bieber, who's winning that fight? Cynthia Templeton.
Oh, Tom Cruise. Easily.
Gavin? Easily.
He's been doing action films for years, and he does most of his own stunts.
Not just that stunt, but I have a theory. Tom Cruise is especially dedicated when he works.
Yes.
So if he said yes to the fight, he would train so hard.
He'd go
take it really seriously. And I suspect he did a bit of wrestling at college.
Yeah, I reckon you might
So
be
he's
right.
probably got a better ground game than Bieber.
Mm.
I don't know about stand-up. You know, because they've got boxing as well as wrestling, haven't they? So I don't know who'd be better.
Well, I mean, the tail of the tape, the money would, in theory, on paper, be on Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber's 25. Tom Cruise is 56.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber is 5'9". According to Google, Tom Cruise is 5'7". There is no way he's 5'. I've interviewed Tom Cruise.
In cowboy boots, yeah.
Yeah, in cowboy boots on a pogo stick, he's 5'7". There's absolutely no chance that man is 5'7", believe me. Right, so that's, so on paper, Justin Bieber, he's younger, he's taller, he's got all the things in his favour. But we're all agreeing. Tom Cruise would batter him, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And also, life lessons are important. You've got to remember.
Absolutely. And Bieber's had it his own way since he was young.
Exactly.
So he's not going to know.
Justin Bieber's had it his own way since he was very young. He was a child star. Tom Cruise survived a divorce of Nicole Kidman.
That's true.
That is experience that you can take into the ring. Think how many plates. He's divorced 3 times, Tom Cruise. How many plates he's had to dodge in the kitchen? Those are reflexes that come in handy. Compared to Nicole Kidman hurling plates at you, suddenly a jab from Justin Bieber isn't so scary.
Yeah. I think the word intensity, you think Cruise, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't think Bieber.
You do. And I think Tom Cruise has to take the fight. First of all, because everybody wants it. It's a huge payday.
Absolutely, yeah.
He'll learn more from this fight than all his films put together.
That's true, right?
But also, please make a point while you put your hand up in the air.
No, I'll wait till you finish. Okay. I have something to add.
This is a much more, see, Johnny is, you know, a bit more overawing. I very much, if I see you raise your hand, I go, yes, Cinta, sorry, this is a delightful chat that we're having here.
Miss Templeton.
Oh, Mrs. Templeton, I'm so sorry, I didn't
see you. Have you something to add to the conversation? Well, I was going to mention that Conor McGregor's actually offered to host it.
Has he?
Steps are in motion.
Yeah, but we need someone who would attract more publicity.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I vote Joe Pasquale. Yeah. But see, the thing with this is, right, this is why Tom Cruise has to take the fight, because all the times that dads around the world, and Tom Cruise as a father, have looked at Justin Bieber and he's been egging people's houses and he's been adopting a monkey and leaving it in Germany, he's been misbehaving.
Yeah.
All the dads that have gone, well, that boy needs is a good
damn hiding.
He just
needs hiding. Yeah.
And Tom Cruise representing fathers everywhere.
If he puts Bieber over his knee and spanks him in the ring,
he needs to smack some sense into Justin Bieber.
Radio X.
Radio X.
I'm Toby Tarrant sitting in for Mr. Johnny Vaughan. Now, this, on the surface, doesn't seem like the cheeriest topic, but we'll see if we can have some fun with it, basically. I love this, right? So there is a bloke who recently, sadly, passed away.
Yeah.
But he requested, and his family arranged him the funeral that they said he would have loved, right? He was buried in a coffin that resembled a can of his favourite beer. So his favourite drink was Foster's by the can. So he came down the aisle in a giant Foster's can. And it says, during the funeral, a can of lemonade was also placed on top of the coffin as a nod to the builder's favourite tipple, a Foster's top.
That's genius.
It's genius. Because funerals are not the happiest of times. So if they lighten up the mood a little bit, like my nan, God rest her soul, she loved Trebor Extra Strong Mints.
Yeah.
Now, we're all sat there, we're all crying our eyes out. If some huge Trebor Extra Strong Mints had come down the aisle, we'd have a chuckle. We'd go, I wasn't expecting that.
I can see that, yeah. That makes sense.
What would you be...
I would obviously have to be a guitar case. But I'm not sure it would have to be a flying V case, maybe.
Yeah,
it would. I have my legs out or my arms, depending on which way up it went.
Yeah, because you're not very guitar shaped.
No, there are not many people are.
It's very rare. Yeah, you'd need to be really a pear shaped person.
That's right.
You'd need to be really top heavy to fit neatly into a guitar case. When you die, and of course, remember, death comes to us all. Is this not cheery for drive time home? When you die, which will inevitably happen, Cinta, what would you like to be buried in?
I was wondering if you could maybe just go for a really basic box, but then cover it with all my ticket stubs of all the gigs I've been to.
I like that.
So that's a good one.
Every band I've seen.
Oh,
not a great big Jack Daniels bottle.
Oh, that would be cool.
That's
pretty rock and roll.
Oh, I see.
Right,
you could have one arm hanging out holding the Jack Daniels bottle. Because it'll hold on by then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That bottle's not going anywhere.
No.
So, like, you know when they used to bury...
Think of it as just a bit of fun.
Exactly. The bottle hanging out the coffin just hit someone over the back of the head on the way down the aisle.
Lovely.
She would have wanted that.
Yeah, she was always bottling
it's
people.
Weird. What would you go for?
I don't know. I mean, just because I'd probably like to be cremated.
Mm.
So just something, just a giant firework.
Right.
You know, in like James Bond movies.
There's a song about that, isn't
there? Yeah, exactly. I think
Katy Perry.
But you know those in James Bond films where they've got like a 10 minutes to save the world from this nuclear missile?
Yeah.
And it's massive, this thing. It's got its own like nuclear hangar,
yeah.
Right? Just a firework that big. So wow. When the cremation happens, it really goes off. Yeah,
that's a great idea.
People know that oh wow, Toby must have been cremated. I heard the bang, in Berlin.
Radio X.
We continue the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. Dido. So you have sent in hundreds and thousands of these to Johnny Vaughan and the rest of the team over the last couple of years. And some of them are so fantastic. For example, we've had a bloke who was called Key Change because he always says, on a slightly different note, because I'm not usually on the show, these are often new to me and I really enjoy them. I really enjoy them. Also, a miserable cleaner who's referred to as the Grim Sweeper.
I love that one.
I purposely, so these get put on a piece of paper in front of me and I purposely never read them until I read them out on air. That they really. And the blacksmith, because every time it's his round, he makes a bolt for the door.
Yes.
Fantastic. So please keep them coming in to 83936 or tweet at Radio X and make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it's just a name. Just don't just text us going, yeah, I've got a mate Steve, we call him Chinchilla.
That's it, yeah. We can't use it.
We can't use it. Gavin, what nickname have you spotted this week?
Okay, so Ian sent us this. He says, we used to have an apprentice who we called Simba. His surname was King, and everything that came out of his mouth was a lie. He was the Lying King, a.k.a. Simba.
Very good.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
This has come in from Rich. He says, at school, 40 years ago, we had a lad called David Hinchy. He was known as Leonardo.
Leonardo David Hinchy. Like, very nice.
Dave Hinchy.
Leonardo Da Vinci. Yeah. It works. It rolls off the tongue. It's really good. And I've got one from Brian, who says, my 10-year-old boy, Will, came out of school yesterday. I commented on one of his friends who was sporting a new short haircut. I said, where's Harry's curls gone? I asked. My little boy replied, I know, Dad. We used to call him Pot Noodle, but now we just call him Pot.
He'll still be getting called that
when
20 years.
We're still doing this feature in the year 2078, feel free to text us in with the latest nickname. Keep them coming in to 83936 or tweet us at Radio X and make sure you include an explanation. Otherwise, it is just a name. Thank you, as always, for your excellent work.
Radio X.
Toby Tarrant here, sitting in for Johnny Vaughan, who returns tomorrow afternoon, but he has very kindly lent me the rest of his fine team, including Gavin the Woodman Woods. He said, Toby, take Gavin. He's very low maintenance.
He's clean.
He's very clean. He just needs to be fed twice a day and walked around the block a couple of times. That's really all it is.
I have simple needs.
He's a man of simple pleasures, but also he provides his excellent radio brain and his research ability. And now I'm lazy, I use the internet and social media and stuff to find stuff to talk about on the show.
I go to the library and look up microfiche.
Yeah, you're like a scene from from Indiana Jones. Where they've always got that thing where you can scroll through a newspaper really magnified.
That's the stuff.
That's what you're doing. No, but so Gavin usually is a newspaper man. Goes and grabs the newspapers and scrolls through the newspapers. But he chanced his arm with the internet when he was doing research for today's show. And he doesn't usually use the internet.
I came across a hot topic, didn't I?
Gavin doesn't trust the internet.
I know. He prefers the dark web.
Right. Yeah,
no adverts. Yeah. So basically, he goes to me, hey, Toby. He goes, here's a good story. He goes, the name Gary is on the decline.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that is kind of interesting.
The tweet was current.
Yeah, and then he shows it to me, and I go, Gavin, that's an article from 4 years ago.
That's right, yeah. The tweet was current from an article from 2015, yeah.
Right.
Which I spotted after I told you about it.
And that's the problem with Twitter.
It is.
So he's really got his finger on the pulse of what people are talking about. Not only that, Big Si was then sat next to him, turned around and goes, Gavin, we did that story on the show 4 years ago.
That doesn't matter. I don't mind that.
So when Johnny lent me Gavin and went, Toby, pick his brain. Pick his brain for radio.
Get both those facts out of his head.
It turns out you've got stories that are 4 years old.
And we've done them already.
You've already covered. However, this is a timeless story because, well, if you did this story 3.5, 4 years ago,
hot on the trail,
we can now see whether that story you did all that time ago.
We can update the evidence.
It's a timeless piece of content. So without meaning to, Gavin, you stumbled upon a piece of content we can actually use. So
I meant it all along.
So the stats are, and basically the size went away and crunched the numbers and found out the latest.
They did, yeah.
So in 1996,
235
babies named Gary were born, right?
Mm.
Right.
And then it started to decline constantly. And in 2017, 26 babies named Gary were born. And those are the latest statistics we have, is that 26. There was a spike in 2009 of 57.
And what year did Lineker have his on-pitch incident?
when did Lineker basically...
Is that when the Gary started going down?
When everyone going, I can't name my child after that. It's the thing with Gary, and if you are a Gary, basically if you're listening and you go, our son was born yesterday and he's called Gary,
yeah,
then get in touch because you're pretty much the only Gary left in the world.
Do you know any Garys?
Only famous Garys.
But do you have any actual friends called Gary?
I don't have friends.
The Lineker incident was 1990.
Right, so already, well, maybe that started to put the seed in people's heads. Well, that's the latest we got, that 26 in 2017. I don't know what happened in 2009, that there was a sudden spike of Gary. Maybe a Gary did something very, very good in 2009. Gary Lineker got the match of the day job. I don't know.
What year was Team America out? Because that's got a Gary in it, hasn't
it? That's true.
Act Gary.
That could be 2009. If anyone has any suggestions for why in the year 2009 there was a brief spike in the name Gary, then we'd love to hear them. And also why overall it is absolutely dying out.
What's the most recent stat then?
2017, 26 babies.
Oh, 26.
Really gone down, hasn't it?
It is one of those names. I think when you meet an adult called Gary, it's fine. But if I showed you a newborn baby now called Gary...
Especially if she had really long blonde hair.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. She was in a nice pink dress with a bow. I think it's one of those names that you've got to grow into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no baby Garys rocking around. If your favourite friend in the world had a child and you went, what have you named him? And they said Gary, you'd have to not flinch.
Eyebrows would be raising on their own, yeah.
You'd have to be going...
Team America was 2005.
So we got no explanation.
Yeah, it's a bit
weird. Well, if you have had a child in the year 2019 and you have called them Gary, then we would love to hear you. I don't know what we'd chat about. We'd go, hi there, if you had a child called Gary, you'd go, yeah, we have. We go, all right, well, thanks for listening to Radio X. That's about it. We were discussing the decline of the name Gary.
Mm. Yeah. The rise and fall of the Gary.
It's just on the decline. It's just really not a popular name for a child anymore. There was a brief spike, though. In 2009, 57 babies were called Gary, which was much better than the rest of the years recently. And we were asking for your suggestions.
We've had a few theories, haven't we?
We have. Lots of people suggesting SpongeBob SquarePants.
The snail, yeah.
The snail.
Gary.
Was Gary. Didn't it make a noise that, like, didn't it like meow or something?
Yeah, well, it does make a weird noise.
So obviously SpongeBob was, SpongeBob probably, I thought it did its best seasons around 2009. Yeah. I thought it peaked.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that it went downhill. You know, they took Patrick off, you know, it went downhill after that. Lots of people saying 2009, Take That's biggest tour. And Gary Barlow.
Course, Gary Barlow.
And also let's not forget, Gary Barlow is a man who's getting more attractive as he gets older.
Yeah.
So you're probably thinking, well, if I name my baby Gary, it's going to be like Benjamin Button. You know, but it's going to keep getting more and more older and handsome and younger all at the same time. But Kelly, I think, has actually hit the nail on the head.
Go on.
Apparently, and this is where really we should do research rather than just leave it to our listeners.
Yeah.
Apparently, 2009 was the biggest baby boom on record in 36 years.
Oh.
So she's saying she doesn't think there's more percentage of Garys. There's just more babies,
right.
And henceforth,
more Garys.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yep. Now, we've had a couple of Garys get in touch. One Gary and an afternoon Gary.
They're openly admitting to being called Gary.
Yeah, I know, which is brave.
No shame at all.
On
none
national
at all.
Radio.
And there shouldn't be any shame.
Says, I'm a Gary, and Gary seems to always be the loser in most adverts.
I like this fact that was sent in. Number ending 613. In 2017, there were 72 babies called Loki.
Oh, really?
And there were 17 called Thor.
Well, if you had told, you know, people in the 80s when everyone was called Gary, that fast forward to 2019, everyone's going to be called Loki
or Thor
before they're called Gary, they would not have believed you. So now I was asking, has anybody here had a baby, not in the studio, had a baby recently called Gary?
Yeah.
You know, people listening at home, if you had a baby recently called Gary, somebody sent a text, said, I was recently scrolling through houses to buy.
Yeah.
And in a room with a baby's crib in it were the wooden letters spelling out Gary.
Ah, a baby Gary.
So somewhere out there is a baby Gary.
Oh, baby
there
is Gary.
Out there is a baby Gary.
Little gal.
Other unpopular name, somebody texted in saying that our new apprentice is 19 and called Terry. There can't be many of them about. That's very, very true. Other names on the decline are Norman. Just picture a small baby when I'm saying these names.
Terrence, Norman.
Norman, Ian, Barry, Nigel, Roy. And, sorry, Smarty, Gordon as well. Gordon. If you're called Nigel, I don't care how young you are, you have ear hair. That's
definitely
just the rule.
Guaranteed.
If you're called Barry, you've got nose hair when you come out of the womb.
Radio X.
Toby Tarrant is sitting in for Johnny. He is back tomorrow afternoon. I am joined by the rest of the team, including a seething big sigh.
Yes, why?
A furious big sigh. Big Sigh and I are both playing the same football team.
Yeah.
And it's not going well.
Right.
How many games have you played?
I think we've played six.
Six, right.
1-2, lost four.
Five aside.
Seven aside.
Seven aside, okay.
1-2, lost four. One of the losses in our defence, we couldn't get enough players together and we had to sacrifice. Listen to this. What do you think the scoreline is that they punish you with if you can't make enough players?
1-0.
Yeah, you lose a goal.
We lost 6-0.
What?
What?
And you have to pay the other team's match fee because obviously they didn't have it.
So double punishment.
So we had to pay about 140 quid for a 6-0 loss we didn't even play in.
Oh, that is a shame. So last night, I take it you didn't win.
So then last night...
You paid to get beaten.
Oh, mate, it was gutting.
Are you running for Prime Minister?
Spent a fortune on this defeat. So so last night we're playing the only team worse than us that were bottom of the league.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
so that was an easy game.
First half was cagey.
Was it?
There's, you know, a game of few chances.
Mm.
And we went in at half time 0-0. And, you know, it was a coin toss really at this stage who was going to win it. Fast forward into 5 minutes into the second half and we're 3-0 down.
What? No.
We fell apart.
What?
You arsenaled it all up.
We capitulated. And nothing really annoys me. I'm very laid back normally.
Yeah.
But even I was pretty annoyed at our performance. So then imagine Big Sigh, who can get riled up by these sort of things.
He's given to passion in sporting scenarios.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because I know you and Big Sigh are the goalies.
Yes.
Who was in goal for the first half and who was in goal for the second half?
This is the key question.
I'm so glad you asked. Big Sigh was in goal for the first half and I was in goal for the second half.
Radio X.
Now, it was around this time yesterday that we were discussing the fact that Justin Bieber had called out Tom Cruise on Twitter for a cage fight.
We really want to see this fight.
The world wants to see this fight. Yeah. I think it would ease a lot of actually international tension.
Oh, definitely.
If Justin Bieber fought Tom Cruise. And I said, I think that
Especially if Tom took him downtown.
if he really taught him a lesson, I'd never forget.
That'd be hilarious.
Well, I said yesterday, I think Tom Cruise has to take the fight on behalf of fathers everywhere who have looked at Justin Bieber when he's been misbehaving and gone, he needs a damn good hiding. That boy needs a damn... Somebody didn't give him a hiding when he's growing up and Tom Cruise is the man to give it to him. And then I saw some people on Twitter yesterday criticising the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they were saying, well, it's not very big or clever to call out a man who is 31 years older than you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what lots of people are saying. It's disgusting. He's calling out a man who's 31 years older than him.
Yeah.
And people are saying that's terrible behaviour. But I disagree because I think we all agreed that Tom Cruise would definitely have Justin Bieber. But also, I looked at celebrities who are 31 years older than me, and I think most of them would have me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not.
You're too young still, Toby. Well, that's the thing.
It's all dependent on the age that you do this
at. If you're five, You can't call out a 36-year-old. You're going to lose.
It's so true. Unless there is a really hench 5-year-old out there somewhere. And a very
with
frail...
a great ground game.
Yeah. There's a 5-year-old out there just oil checking 36-year-old.
Rear naked choke. Yeah. He can't get this toddler off his neck.
But then on the other side of the spectrum, you know, if you're 60...
Well, I'm in my very, very late 40s,
yes,
as you know, so I get to fight some really choice names.
Right.
I could take Angela Lansbury. No, I looked it up. Actors who are 31 years older than me, I can take Kirk Douglas. He's barely walking now.
Yeah, yeah.
John Cleese, I could have a straightener with.
Yep.
I'd be happy taking Cleese on.
He's got a good reach, though.
Great reach and probably a lot of fury.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not going. He's going to go. He'll blow out within 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's just the age.
Leslie Phillips, Dick Van Dyke is probably it's looking right at me funny.
Hang on. I want to cancel Justin Bieber, Tom Cruise being the fight I want to see the most, and replace it with Gavin Woods versus Dick Van Dyke.
Gene Hackman, I could offer out.
That's a good scrap, that.
And obviously Sean Connery, but he doesn't count because he's Scottish. And I think he'd have me.
I think Scottish...
Even at 81.
Well, we should instantly introduce the rule that Scottish people don't count because Scottish people get better with fighting
they get harder
at age.
Yeah. As they go, yeah.
Yeah, they get so much better at fighting with age. I reckon you and Gene Hackman's a tight fight. I reckon he's still got it.
Yeah, that's about right.
I reckon, he could work the body pretty nicely. But by and large, I'd say you have the advantage that you would probably beat up the people that you would put in a ring against.
I could do Phillips, Cleese or Douglas easily. Just trip them over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not getting back up. They're getting a stair lift into the cage in the first place. Yeah. So with me, on the other hand...
Who have you looked at?
If I add 31 years to me, I just get the hell beaten out of me by a procession of people. Sean Penn.
He's active.
He'd kill me.
He's active.
Because, by the way, I'm not a big man. Like, I am lanky. I always point out to my friends, my bicep and wrist are the same width.
Right.
That takes doing. That's
Penn is stocky.
Sean Penn would have me straight away.
Stocky, yeah.
Diego Maradona. Now, this depends on what state Diego Maradona is in.
I reckon you've got better cardio than Diego these days.
Only these days. And to be fair, I'd imagine if you went to a nightclub in Argentina, he can run around that place for a good 12 hours.
Not just that, but if you pick a fight with Maradona, you're fighting about 12 men.
Yeah,
because he's always surrounded by bouncers.
That's true.
You take
that
risk.
And Maradona, he'd fight to the death.
He would, yeah.
He's not looking for me to tap out. He's looking for me to die at his hands.
A duel, yeah.
Susan Boyle.
Yeah, you could take Subo.
You reckon I could take Subo? I reckon she'd get me in a headlock. I'd never.
Does she do sumo?
Subo does sumo.
It's a big question.
Channel 5, if you're listening.
There's a series for you.
There's a series for you. Vince Neil. From Motley Crue.
Well, he's put on some suet, so I think you're in a chance.
You reckon I could
But
take
he's
it?
Very scrappy.
I reckon he'd fight dirty.
He really would, and he'd be ready to fight straight away.
He had to fight himself out of some scraps, in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. But finally, if you add 31 years to my age, there is one man who would certainly beat the living hell out of me, and that is a 58-year-old Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And well done, Jean-Claude. He was asking for it.
People on Twitter yesterday going, it's disgusting that Justin Bieber called out a man 31 years his senior. I think he's brave. I am not fighting Jean-Claude Van Damme or Susan Boyle for that matter.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4-7 thing.
Hey, Gav.
Yeah?
Get this. Fish, right?
Yeah.
Are getting depressed about Brexit. They can sense it.
Them too, eh?
Yeah, they know that humans or British people are cowards. I'm kidding. We're not the only species whose mood sinks when love goes awry.
Okay.
Get that.
So fish get lovesick as well.
Fish. Pine. Sorry. Fish pine. Pish fine.
No, don't do that.
No, it's very different.
They pine for lost lovers, do they?
Yes, they do, yeah. Female cichlids, a small fish from South America.
Oh, yeah.
Which they just picked as the test fish.
Okay.
You know, just randomly.
Fish.
Yeah, I know. Fish. Oh, fish, man. And it went wherever. Anyway,
it it's gone.
They become pessimistic when kept away from their first choice mate.
Pessimist.
Yes.
It's so specific.
They became pessimistic. They had to...
What, do they mope? How do they know when a fish is moping?
They had to endure a kind of forced marriage to a lesser male.
Oh, really?
They become pessimistic.
And they have arranged marriages.
Yes.
Wow.
They sing
it,
and then what they do is they then make that mate suffer. For not being the one they want. And then they remind him all the time. Well, look how fast that other fish is going, they say. The whole time. What a better set of rocks they live between.
Yes.
Gosh. Yes, of course I could have done.
Her fish did very well in
swimming around me. Radio X. Caught up on Love Island, a show you know I'm mad on.
Oh, yeah.
What gets me is, firstly, it's just so obvious, like, who the best-looking ones are.
Right.
But the reasons they'll say...
Are they not all just good-looking?
No, yeah, they'll never say...
There are two grades.
No, there's a variety. There is a variety within it. But they won't admit that.
Right.
They'll just go up to the one who's obviously the best-looking.
Yeah.
And just make out that it's what's inside that counts. Because they've heard that's obviously what you do. I mean, it's just shallow as... Anyway, but this idea that, it's particularly, I don't know, the boxer, yeah?
Right.
And boxers, and I know a few, and I've boxed a bit myself.
Yeah.
And I gave up because I wasn't mad enough.
Right, okay.
Boxers, and also, I didn't like getting really punched hard in the head.
In the face, yeah. Yeah. It's annoying.
Yeah, but they're mad, they're insane. And this guy, what he's doing, the Fury Boy, he's just... Well, all of them do this. This example, like, for instance, we could talk about this show.
Yeah.
And basically, there's the reason I like you, Gav, is there's that banter, isn't there?
Right, yeah.
We've got
great banter. Yeah.
We just got that banter we share. It's not like the other shows around,
right,
is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's all about the banter. I mean, that's obvious, yeah.
You know, I mean, the thing is also, you know, because I just don't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I just laugh at myself.
That's right. I don't take myself seriously. And also, we've got that connection.
We've got a connection. Sons, do you get that? We just don't... That's the great thing about us. We just don't take ourselves at all seriously, like what we look like and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't.
We just have great banter. We're a fun bunch.
Yeah.
And
a fun bunch.
But the reason, you know, I get on with you, Sons, it's a banter, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
It's a banter.
It is.
And it's like with Gav, and it's like a connection.
No one else has got banter like
that. No, we've got real banter, haven't we?
That's right.
Like the other day, we were talking about the banter that we share.
It's top banter, wasn't it?
It was a real connection we made by talking about...
Yeah.
Banter.
Yeah.
That listeners never hear.
Right.
You know, no one sees that banter.
Oh, so, yeah.
But they know that banter's going on because we talk.
Because he says it.
All the time.
About how good the banter is. Right.
And
so, it must be brilliant when they do it.
But also because we just don't take ourselves seriously at all, do we?
That's right, yeah.
Despite the fact there's that connection.
Yeah.
You know, because I felt a connection with you.
Yeah. I mean, you're not like most of the blokes I've met.
No.
That's right.
It's about the connection.
It is, yeah.
It's a connection.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Before we have Gav's hero, who is an ice hockey player, I say, ready to bully off that puck in his heroic little slot. It's little Simon's birthday, everybody. So what we've done is we've brought a group of people down here, Simon, because we wanted more people to give you a properly lethargic and apathetic... Happy birthday to you, followed by meek applause.
And this has to be desultory.
This has to be really... Well, we've rehearsed it. You'll see. They know what to do. Okay? And happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
What a lovely moment.
That was so
mean.
That was superb.
That's one of the best things we've ever done on the show. I'm not kidding. That's insane. Sorry, we brought a load of people down from the fifth floor and they've really got into that. Just shows that top to bottom here at Global Towers is that... shared apathy for you. Do see me giving him a headlock on Johnny_Vaughan66, my Instagram account. You'll see me attempt to throttle him on his birthday using my biceps. That's what I call my biceps and headlock down the gym. Gav, give us a hero.
Okay, so today's hero, Johnny, is a man called Gordie Howe.
Wow.
His nickname was Mr. Hockey. He was born in 19...
19- really?
Yeah, seriously.
I love that guy.
I'll show you a picture of him. He looks so mamp.
Was he just called...
This is what Gordie Howe looked like.
Oh, he's one of the mampest people
he was
I've
born
ever
in 1928 in near Saskatchewan in Canada.
Yeah. Mamp.
From 1946 to 1980, 34 years. He played a combination of 32 Pro League seasons. He retired twice and came back out of retirement. He was the most complete player to ever play the game. He was high scoring, ambidextrous. He led the NHL scoring in six seasons in the 50s and 60s. He was the top 10 scorer for 21 consecutive years.
But he was Mr. Hockey.
He set the record for points in a season. He won the Stanley Cup four times with his second team, the Detroit Red Wings.
Which was his other team then?
He was about four or five other teams. He retired in 1971 and within a year went straight into the Hockey Hall of Fame. But he came back 2 years later to play with his sons in the Houston Aeros.
Astros? No,
Aeros.
Oh,
it's
the
ice hockey, yeah.
Oh, right, cool. Astros league is baseball.
In his mid-40s, he scored over 100 points twice in 6 years. That's a point per goal.
So he really was unbelievably good.
He was Wayne Gretzky's hero.
But he makes Wayne Gretzky look like an ulcer. I mean, he never did anything like this.
Wayne Gretzky was the only one to break some of his records.
Yeah,
but it took till the 80s.
Not in such a mamp era.
He returned to the NHL in 1979-1980 season for one season and then retired at 52.
Wow,
he played professional ice hockey at 52.
Man, now 52's young, Gav. 52's young.
He was at 23.
I can think of a guy right here who's... Go on.
He still holds the record for the most games and the most seasons. And he has a hat trick named after him. There is a thing in ice hockey called the Gordie Howe hat trick.
And how is it? What are you going to do?
One goal, one assist, one fight.
Oh, man.
Gordie Howe.
Wow. Gordie Howe. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7. Thing. Why? Why? We salute you. Thank you very much indeed, woman. A beautiful hero. Right, let's have a bit of a tune. Are you all right from your happy birthday celebration? It was good celebrations.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to the team down here. Give yourselves a really nice round of applause to show you can do it. Hey! Hooray for us! Ow! Hooray for us!
Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
I'm going to just quickly clear the table of a few stories because I haven't got many in today.
Okay.
And I shall just whir through them because they're quick observation ones. They're not worthy of a whole link, you know? The kind of attention I give things.
Okay.
First up, Steven Spielberg, and this is exciting, he's got a new drama.
Right.
He's writing a horror series for the television. But it'll be played on this app, right?
Yeah.
That will only work. And it says here, the Oscar-winning filmmaker is writing a horror series that can be played only when the viewer's smartphone detects that it's dark outside.
Ooh!
No. Just, and I'll tell you what that bit of software is called. It's called a clock.
Yes.
And it's just called...
With local time on it. That's
and then
right,
it knows when it's dark anyway.
Unbelievable.
There's no darkness. Darkness detector.
Oh, take away all the magic.
It's not really. I think it's still quite magic. The fact that my phone knows when I'm going to Italy and it's an hour back and then it knows when I'm just...
Mind. And it don't work. Like, you know, when the clocks go forward and backwards and you don't have to worry about it because your phone just does it.
I know, but Sunta, I love that. You're taking away all the magic. What, you thought the phone would peek? Yeah. Through the curtains.
Yes.
What, some sort of little trail of fog comes out and just pokes the curtain back and has a little look. Otherwise, you could just watch it just... I mean, it would work for any of those people who watch Channel 4 ITV racing in the afternoon.
Snooker.
They always think it's dark outside, don't they? It doesn't work that way. Okay, the other thing I wanted to point out. Plastics.
Mm.
Humans inadvertently... And that's the key thing here. Inadvertently.
Yeah, we're not ordering.
Because it turns out people are making vast amounts of money selling us water because the stuff out the tap, they said, wasn't clean enough anymore.
Yeah.
And it turns out it is miles better than... And also, keywords, duty of care. The government has a duty of care to us if they're going to allow things to be sold like this. And
yeah, we should know the real information.
Right,
yeah.
Get this. 5 grams of microplastics a week. Now, people, users out there won't have any problem depicting knowing what that is. But... That's the weight of a credit card.
We're eating a credit card a week, all of us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's put it this way. It's 250 grams a year.
So where's that coming from? Bottled water?
Yeah, mostly just by drinking water or eating shellfish.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
Just those two things.
I do neither of those things.
Don't mess with me prawns. That means every time I've been eating prawn, I look at me missus, I've had the steak. She's had the prawns. And now I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, you're plastic, you are.
Wow.
How about that?
Shellfish.
No, but let's not play it down. Because they say microplastics and micrograms with each serving. So it makes it all sound like, no, That's a credit card.
A credit card is a lot of plastic.
What do you mean? We've got more plastic than like the Real Housewives of Atlanta, which is going some, Gavin.
It is going some,
because they look
some,
like they've been fashioned from the stuff.
They do. They look like they were hydroformed.
And where is it? Hydroformed.
Write that down. It's really good.
They were poured into moms. But what's happening when it's in our bodies?
Overall,
is it staying in there?
Okay. Well, here we go. This is researchers of the University of Newcastle in Australia.
Okay.
I love when you're doing that and it throws you with that.
Yeah.
They said microplastics are particles smaller than five mils, often released into the environment as micro beads, which are now banned in the UK.
Yep.
Those things that you exfoliate with,
yeah,
to stop you needing plastic surgery.
Yeah.
That's right. I think they put it in some toothpaste as well or something.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They have to, Gav. They've got to do that.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, just to say, there is that ship from the University of Bristol that since 1957 has been trawling the world seas with a big, like a filter behind it.
Yeah.
And it empties every 500 nautical miles. And they say all the plastic is not these microbeads. It's not any of those.
Right.
It's fishermen. In the Northern Hemisphere, it's little particles from fishermen's ropes being hauled
in. Oh, nylon nets.
And those enormous dredges, those nylon nets, it's all little particles of that. So they're talking absolute rubbish. Also, last up, a road safety charity has urged ministers to impose a minimum passing distance of 1.5 metres on motorists when overtaking cyclists.
Hang on.
This is because cyclists, for some reason, not only do they sort of... Are they looking around these days like driving examiners? Like, because they're on a bike, they know how you should drive a car.
Oh, so you get disapproval or approval?
Yes. Like, all the time when we're driving a car, all we should think about are cyclists. Because they're not paying for the road.
But I would say when you're a cyclist, all you're thinking about is people driving
cars. Yeah, you really
because
are.
Because it must be terrifying.
It is,
Right, but that's what you... The point is, remember, when you're a cyclist, it's like complaining... It's not quite like shark attack.
Right.
But let's face it, the roads weren't made for cyclists.
No, they weren't.
And you've got more to lose on
right,
a bicycle,
right.
So you have to stay aware.
But the cyclists have really lost their charm, guys. I got knocked over by a cyclist the other day, yeah?
Mm.
It was on a cycle. I just crossed the road and I didn't really think about it. I didn't think one would come at that speed.
Mm. Yeah.
And I just crossed the road and he knocked me over. Yeah. I was on the ground and he just looked at me. He just looked back and he tutted. Like, watch where you're going.
Mm.
I'm thinking, it's always the pyramid goes car in terms of sympathy. Car, watch out for bike. Bike, watch out for people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but
that's
in the
middle, order, yeah.
Cyclists, just watch out for everybody.
Yeah, stay out of my
You're
way.
In the middle of the food chain here. All right?
Yep.
They should all just have to use tandems.
Listen, cyclists are less visible than a pedestrian and they're on the road.
That's right.
They're right in the middle there, and they're moving really fast, much faster than a pedestrian.
Mm.
It's surprising it's not carnage out there every day.
I know.
I mean, they're zipping in and out of traffic. Imagine if there was just people jogging on the road. They take up about as much room as a bike in terms of when you look in your mirror, but you wouldn't think of jogging down the road.
No, you wouldn't.
Because you think, no, I'm not going to do that. That's just so dangerous.
Yeah.
Cyclists, just because they've mounted two wheels, they suddenly think they look that long in the mirror.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
They're still shoulder width. Never forget that. This is Tough John talking. I do a lot of running, yeah? I do a lot of cycling, I do a lot of swimming. But always, yeah, I'm looking out for others, yeah? Because I've got their backs.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I don't play team sports. I don't like them. I'm about me. Yeah?
Yeah. Personal glory.
Yeah, that's what I am. That's why I do triathlon. I don't even like...
Sure.
I don't like the whole peloton thing in the Tour de France.
Sure.
I just wish it was a cycle race. It was just cyclists racing. We find out the fastest races, not the fastest team.
Yeah, and also when you do pose downs, you don't do the group one. You wait till you've got the stage to yourself, don't you?
Damn right I'm somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Gav, when I've got a proper pump on, yeah?
Yeah.
God, I wish you could see me.
I know.
I think it's because at the moment you see it, it's more like just slabs of muscle.
Sure.
But sure. When I'm getting ready to compete, yeah, this is for you know, pose downs, not but triathlon work.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
My body fat goes down to about 2%.
It does when you finish cutting. Yeah, it's
literally,
mad,
I'm just
yeah.
like I'm just. It's
you
like,
can see your heart.
It's like I'm covered in just. It's like my skin is just like prophylactic. Gav, it really is.
Yeah.
Gav, tell us about this. So I'm not really aware of tactics that
right.
people employ, but
oh, team
get this.
Tactics, yeah.
Team tactics, get this, go on.
So I got home last night after the show, And I got a text from Little Si, and he says, I'm just at Hammersmith on the tube, should be at the club ready to play by 8.
And already, at what point did you sort of think, hello?
I'm thinking, what's this?
As soon as he texted you, right?
Yeah. Then he says, hopefully the rain will hold off. I think our one and only tactic should be to hit to their backhands, .. exclamation mark.
Why is that, Little Simon?
What does that mean?
Well, I haven't finished yet. He says...
No, we're going to take it a bit at a time, Gav. I've got to take a whole look at this. So why hit to their backhands?
Why is it...
It's the standard weak hand, isn't it?
It's the weakest hand, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's not much of a tactic then, is it? If that's widely known.
Also, I got a bit of intelligence from another coach.
A bit of intel on your Oppo.
Okay, so this is Little Si's birthday yesterday. It was a very rainy day. Mm. He cancelled everything with his fiance.
Yep.
Shot.
He cancelled all that. Because he wanted to play tennis with his tennis club he's a member of. Yeah. Mm. And you were playing the pro, weren't you, Simon?
This is in a summer tournament, and I was up against the number 3 seeds, which was the club professional, who shouldn't be allowed to play in it, in my opinion.
I think you make a very good point, Little Si.
Look, he's a professional, you're damn right. It's not an open tournament, is it?
No. Well, you know it technically is.
Is it? Well, in that case, you should be allowed to play. If it's people don't realise that's what the Open means.
Open to professionals.
It means open to professionals, not open to amateurs. That's what the British Open is. They're all amateur tournaments. So it is an open tournament, is it? Well, hang on a second. So you mean Nadal could play in it, technically?
Yeah.
Well, no, because he's not a member of the club.
Okay, but could you?
And I think you can tell.
one can sort of tell.
He seems to be the type not to be a member of one of us. Yeah,
we wouldn't have a.
So that's tactic number one. What else Spaniard. Did he say?
Well, Little Si's obviously texting his tennis partner. He says, "Which side do you want to play on? If you're a lefty, should you play on the right or on the left?"
You not played with this guy before?
It's so embarrassing.
And then he texted. And then he texted me. Sorry, sorry, wrong number. And then he said, "No taking the out of my tactics, Gav." And I replied, "Ha ha." And then he sent a text after the match, and he said, "Lost 6-love, 6-love. So much for tactics."
That's fantastic. Did you really lose 6-love? Every time Little Simon texts me, I always like to text back. I get quite involved. I always text back, "Who is this?" Which I think offends you, doesn't it, Simon?
It's a standard reply now.
Yes. So even when he announced his wedding plans, that was the one that gave me real joy. Radio X. Just been reading about Louis the Raptor.
Louis the Raptor.
Yeah. Now,
Louis the Raptor.
That's not one of the kings of France, obviously.
No, Louis the Raptor. No. As an event as London Zoo has been billed as a chance to watch free-flying birds and Louis the striated caracara. Unfortunately, as it says in the Times, he interpreted the occasion rather too literally.
Or free-flying.
Yes, because he decided to escape again.
Oh.
Here's the dealio. He's a bird of prey with... they're found in the Falklands.
Right.
Which always makes you think that this might all be a load of propaganda. But, incidentally, the Argentinians have tried quite a crafty move in the Falklands, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, they've organised that chess tournament there. Genius. Anyway, I'll get back to this, because that's another subject. And again, we don't want to get too heavy.
Okay.
But, the bird of prey with roots in the Falklands took wing on Saturday, terrifying people out for a stroll in Regent's Park, North London. I don't know if he actually terrified them, but here we go. Louis appears to have form. Right?
Yeah.
This was his third escape.
Oh.
Yeah. And his second since last year. Last time he got as far as Kilburn, about 2 miles away.
Wow.
In January last year, he was seen swooping for scraps outside a butcher's shop in Kilburn High Street, which is great. He also enjoyed a whole cooked chicken.
Wow.
Yes, in Grange Park. But this time, zookeepers went into the park with whistles and food, such as, it says here, tasty rodents. He can't resist them. He's a sucker for them. Anyway, visitors to the park were not very impressed. They say, this is particularly disgusting for people having picnics. Do you know what? I really hate it, the way it's this attitude of farmers, that any nature that gets in the way of something, that it's a human contrivance.
Yeah.
I know it's an essential one, but picnics.
Yeah.
Farming.
I'm calling that. I'm sorry. No one's having a picnic in this weather.
Yeah, right. Nice. Point center. Nice. There's me.
Made
There's
that
me.
Up.
Moral yakking.
Also, I want to know what Louis thought when, instead of eating a raw bird, he ate a roasted bird. He must have thought, What was that?
Yeah, you must have been talking right.
What is this witchcraft? That was delicious.
God, why didn't I think of that?
It's so, the skin's all crispy.
Gav, you were talking about that knowledge back to the zoo.
Well, this is the danger, Gav. Do you remember those fire eagles down in Australia?
Yes, the firehawks. Yeah, yeah.
The firehawks, and they deliberately carry fire.
Yeah, so that things get flushed out of the brush.
So that things
they can
get flushed out of the brush, but maybe they're not doing it for that
reason. Maybe they're cooking.
Maybe they're just thinking, no, you get it out, kill it, then sling it back in again. Yeah. Seriously. And then,
what did they do
and then
to
get
this
a stick and keep turning it. Get a skewer, get it down its throat, out of the parson's nose, keep rotating.
And before you know it, some hot dog rolls show up.
Yeah, right.
buns.
Right. Anyway, this is particularly disgusting for people having picnics. Oh, I'm so sorry to get in the way of nature. Mm. Can I say, and this is Vaughan aphorism number 421.
Yeah.
Are you ready? What on earth isn't an earthling?
That's right, yeah. I feel the same way with sharks. They're in the sea.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get in the sea, that you might come across one.
No, you're in their food chain.
That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't be killing it.
Yeah. If one comes and attacks you in the swimming pool, that's very different.
That's different, yeah. That's just a very aggressive and highly organised shark.
Or in the shower.
Exactly.
Now, that's a shark
attack.
What's
it doing in there?
Otherwise, that's not. You're just food.
Apart from that, it's very rude.
Yes, or in an alleyway if a shark did you. Anyway, the point is that I just can't stand that. That attitude, Gavin, it's driving me mad. What on earth isn't an earthling? Whenever they say, greetings, earthling, you know, they're actually also addressing dogs and cats, and in fact, any living creature on earth.
Yeah.
But we see ourselves as the only things that are earthlings.
That's right. Why does that bird want to go in the sky?
Yeah, right.
It's weird.
God, badgers affecting our cows. Anyway, listen, Illy Montefiore, I don't know, working class man, told the Camden New Journal.
Montefiore.
Yeah, right. Imagine if you're walking a dog and someone came along swinging around a bit of carcass. Well, if it's an eagle, I'd accept it. It's what they do. They haven't been taught manners, Mr. Montefiore. I'm terribly sorry. Mr. Montefiore said that other birds in the park had been responding loudly when they saw Louis. It was like Alfred Hitchcock, she said. There wasn't a pigeon in sight. Oh, now you're on the pigeon side.
Now you're on the pigeon.
Oh, now they're the good guys. Yeah. They're the poor pigeons, I must say, I felt for them thoroughly. My dear sister Fanny. Anyway, the bird could be a danger to other birds, small dogs and children. What if someone had a small chihuahua? Release the bird.
Definitely.
I'm kidding.
Radio X. Johnny. Vaughan.
Gav, we better go because Clive Buchanan...
Yeah, they actually said, the phrase they said was clear them out.
Yeah, I know.
They're really aggressive. And also, I've noticed, both of them have got loads of cash on them.
Do you know what else I noticed as well?
What?
They're really from that age of body odour.
They really are.
They just don't
They don't
care,
seem
do
to
they?
Mind.
No,
yeah.
They just think cigars and Old Spice will mask all.
Here they come.
Are they out of here yet? Come in,
please.
Okay.
Could you get me in?
Actually, I've got to tell you, it's an absolute bugger.
Could you tell the young lady?
Traffic was an absolute bugger.
Tell the young lady to get me in.
Traffic's a bugger today.
Get me an ashtray, please.
Well, I know, in the end, I told both the landlords to sod off.
Yeah. Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
There's a chip shop in space that sells spaceship chips. There's a chip shop in space that sells spaceship chips. There's a chip shop in space that sells spaceship chips.
I'm warm. Are you warm, Clive?
A little bit warm. She lay on the doxo and died of the poxo.
Right.
Let's go.
Hi, I'm Roger Burley Budlington.
And I'm Clive the Cannon Buchanan.
And you've joined us for a...
No, you stepped on my line, for God's sake,
sorry,
Roger.
Do it again.
You daft bugger.
Hi, I'm Roger Burley Budlington.
And I'm Clive the Cannon Buchanan.
And you've joined us for a rough guide to our pet town.
Rothsay. Got in there first.
This small Victorian seaside resort is Scotland bursting This small Victorian seaside resort in Scotland is bursting with activities and attractions.
I think you can get more out of the word attractions. Generally, the R is overpronounced.
Bursting with activities and attractions.
Better. Situated on the Isle of Bute, there's a secret garden, a Gothic revival country house under Lundis.
Mount Stuart House in Rothsay is the ancestral home of the Marquesses of Bute.
It's available for corporate events, banquets and birthday parties. Sorry, birthday parties.
If you're thirsty, why not have a drink or four at the Golfer's Bar?
Okay, let me do that. If you're thirsty, why not have a drink or four... at the Golfer's Bar. It's humour, Roger.
I see.
This pub has an impressive mirrored gantry in a typical Glasgow Art Nouveau style.
I think it's Art Nouveau.
Sorry. This pub has an impressive mirrored gantry in a typical Glasgow Art Nouveau style.
If you need to spend a penny, visit the stunning Victorian toilets.
Entrance costs 40 pennies, and ladies should note that only the gents loser of historical interest stay out.
Loch Fad offers trout and pike fishing with a 5-day holiday sporting ticket available.
3 rods max.
The fascinating Butte Museum has a display of freshwater fish.
Sorry. What you did then was linguistically beautiful. Did you say freshwater?
Is that not how it's pronounced?
You know damn well it isn't, but you've done something stunning. You've reversed the evolution of the English language. Please, can we have that again? Just so we can marvel at freshwater.
The fascinating Butte Museum has a display of freshwater fish and recently started selling shortbread in its cafe.
Shortbread and freshwater. Goodness. Fun for all the family can be had in Maeve's Lucky Box.
This games and toy shop in Rothsay has something for everyone.
I can spend hours in Maeve's Lucky Box. However, if you like two-in-one shops, there's Jessamy's Fruit and Flowers,
Mill Cottage Garden and Pet Shop,
and Shoes and Tattoos. Be sure to visit the remarkable Rothsay Castle. It has dungeons, thick outer walls, and a grand hall.
You can hire it for weddings, but not funerals.
So whether it's bus stops,
innuendo shops,
or seaside flip-flops,
there's something for everyone in
Rothsay. I think we did bloody well there.
That was our podcast. Please tell a friend about it. Rate and review. I'm not going to bore you with it because I know you just don't respond. You really don't. I really need you to get involved here.
Certainly not enough, John.
Like, Gav, it's really annoying.
We really need to mobilise the people.
We really do. Please tell. You had that whole thing where you were telling 6 friends. The good luck text we get in because of that,
Gav. Oh, my God.
No, I think you were getting sarcastic. People didn't think it was true.
I know. It's absolutely true.
Isn't it true, Gordon?
Yeah.
Exactly. There we go, that's
you heard it
smart,
here first.
Just confirming that. It's true though, isn't it?
Double true.
It will bring them luck if they tell 6 friends about it, won't. Yeah,
if you rob them in the right part of the body at the same time.
No, Gordy, I'm being serious.
You don't need to be tawdry,
no,
Gordon.
No, it's very tawdry.
Oh my God.
Smut.
That's good luck though, isn't it?
No, Gordon's just smut. Gordon smut.
Yeah.
That's an animal we're talking about.
No, don't forget to listen to the show weekdays from 4 till 7. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk, and that is now someone else's problem. Radio X.